The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, gather around 9 o'clock hour. So glad you are here. It is Tuesday, the 28th day of March. And on this day where you and I begin, well, we might if you've been a quite literal longtime listener, where we begin our 30th year of hanging out together on DFW Radio. It was March 28th, 1994, that I walked in and sat down there in the lobby of Broadcast Hill and cracked the mic for that first show on BAP. That was 18 good years, and 12 pretty darn fine ones since here in this magnificent building. But 11 since. So yeah, math is not my strong suit. No ciphering on the air. Did you hear what I did last hour? I had to ask stupid Alexa what 2/3 of 31 was. It's like, what, to get 2/3 for the constitutional amendment on anything in the Texas Senate. Duh, dumb butt, 2/3 of 31 is just over 20. Anyway, though, 29 years of radio today, beginning our big 30th year together. And on a day that that in a way encapsulates what you and I have done for 29 years, which is taking the things that happen in the news and absorbing them and dealing with them and talking about them on the fly. I mean, historians write about stuff, and they have weeks and months and years to absorb things and reach conclusions, and that's a very valuable exercise. We chronicle history as it happens. And that means things change. I mean, we talk about that. I mean, just yesterday, we were talking about what we think about the war on terror 20 years after it started. Lord knows we revisit 9/11 and say, what do we think of that X, Y, and Z years down the road? What do we say, think of certain elections when we are 2 and 4 and 10 and 12 years past those? And this morning's exercise obviously involves the latest monster, the latest evidence of our fallen world, and the latest tragedy exacted upon, in this particular case, three beautiful children. And three folks who worked at the school who were called into service of the Lord and those children. The children are Evelyn Diekhouse, William Kinney, and Hallie Scruggs. Hallie Scruggs is the daughter of Chad Scruggs, who until just a few years ago was associate pastor at Park City's Presbyterian. Moved the family to Nashville some years ago, where they loved him and their arms are wrapped around them and that family as we ask the arms of a loving God to wrap around these people, their loved ones. The lost adults, the folks that were who were killed by this shooter yesterday, Mike Hill, Cynthia Peake, and the head of school, Catherine Kuntz. I want to remember their names. I want to speak their names. I do not want to speak the name of the shooter. I'm also usually not in the mood to wander around in manifestos and the long pronouncements of these folks. As I say, those tend to usually be the ravings of lunatics. This one may have some value in that we need to understand the degree to which gender dysphoria may have played a road in just the hot rails to hell of mental dysfunction. Just in talking about gender issues for these years that it's been so front of mind, I've said 100 times what an incredible rough road that must be, to think you're trapped in the wrong body, to think that God made a mistake in making you the wrong sex. And it's that's hard for the individual. And you know what else is hard, apparently? Society getting its act together on how to address it. Because we are so twisted and so perverse and so misguided and so fallen that we take a man who thinks he's a woman and we go, yay, that's great. Let's go with that. We take a child. We take a 14-year-old girl who thinks she's a boy, and we say, let's remove those breasts. Good God in heaven, what are we doing? So the problem is us. Was old Pogo, we've seen the enemy, and he is us. The old comic strip. So here we all are. Here we are again. But let me also add two names that I absolutely want to sing the praise of. Their names are Rex Engelbert and Michael Collazo. You might hear them in the news as Officer Rex Engelbert and Officer Michael Collazo. They heard gunfire. They knew that children and adults could well be in danger, and they ran toward the gunfire without hesitation, without foggy brains and thumb twaddling and hesitation over who might be in charge. That is how you do it. Twiddling, twaddling. I invent a verb. Well, I'm inventing numbers. Why not? So 866-660-5759. I'm going to hop to phone calls here in just a moment and some of your thoughts about this. Let's see what some of the coverage has been like. Bree Jackson on NBC this morning, and this is going to contain, of course, the initial natural reaction of Democrats, of President Biden, and that's to blame you. If you are a gun owner, if you are a member of the NRA, if you are a conservative, if you value the Second Amendment. So can these people just stop? Can they stop for a day? You know, can we mourn these beautiful babies and these adults? Can we do this without hearing the prattling and the scolding and the politicization of this tragedy? And I know I'm asking the impossible, because this is what they do.
Another community now victim of another mass shooting in the U.S.
It's heartbreaking, a family's worst nightmare. And I want to commend the police who responded incredibly swiftly, within minutes.
3 9-year-old children and 3 adults died after authorities say a former student opened fire inside this private elementary school in Nashville, Tennessee. Police say it was a targeted attack involving multiple guns, including 2 assault-style weapons.
And gee, why might it have been targeting? Is it because somebody gave her a bad grade in 4th grade? Bet not. Maybe it had a little something to do with an ideology that teaches. It teaches. Not just that there are disagreements about gender, disagreements about sexuality, disagreements, all kinds of things we're working through as a society. Oh, no, 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 no. We live in a time when people who are gender confused are told that the people who oppose you are hate mongers, that the people who oppose you, the people who don't want to go along with your journey of gender dysphoria, that they are the haters, that they are your enemy, that they need to be defeated or vanquished or worse. In a prime example of bad timing, there's an outfit planning a protest at the Supreme Court on April 1st at 11 a.m. It's called the Trans Day of Vengeance. Really? Isn't that special? Stop trans genocide, the banner says. The Trans Day of Vengeance. How's that looking today, guys? Anyway.
I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban.
Of course, because that'll just fix it all. That'll fix it all. Of course it will. Assault weapon is a meaningless term. It's a semi-automatic rifle. It is functionally no different whatsoever than what you hunt with. They are coming for your guns.
Lawmakers have repeatedly failed to meet
the No. Failure means failure. Refused would be good. Whatever you want to say, they have. When you fail to do something, that means that you should have done it. So that is a biased sentence. When someone fails to do something, that's bad.
What is a solution that we can all invest in? Because I think we've gotten the country's and the world's attention. Now we have to deliver.
Many states across the country.
What does that mean? We have the world's attention. Now we have to deliver. Deliver what? Some magical fairy dust thing where you guys can all pat yourselves on the back and say, well, we did it now. This is something that does not have a solution in government. It has a solution in the hearts and minds of us as people, as citizens, as members of society. Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina.
When a bad guy is trying to go buy a gun, we don't have stringent enough background checks.
Police say at least two of the weapons were obtained legally. The GOP congressman representing the district appeared noncommittal when asked about legislative changes.
You know, at a time like this, I just would urge everybody to pray for the families and those affected.
Correct. And by the way, that congressman, the member of Congress who represents the part of Nashville where the school is, do you know what those jackals at the Washington Post did? I said, congressman who represents, whose district includes this school, says his heart is broken at the shooting, yet his family was photographed with guns. What? See, that's what you have to understand about these people. We're no longer in a time of just of thoughtful disagreement or debate or goodwill or anything. No, no. These people hate guns and hate you if you own them. You are evil. And that's the starting point you have to understand when dealing with some of these people, many of them in the media.
Do you think there's anything that you can do in Congress to prevent something like this from happening again?
That's all I've got for now. Thank you.
One woman voiced her frustration with inaction.
We all have to make our lawmakers make change now, or this is going to keep happening.
And I'll tell you what, I always... grieving people. Yeah, the worst thing I ever want to say about anybody is that they're mistaken. But, and you know what? And if I don't want to use myself because I'd like to think that I would not lose my clarity, but you may be driving around thinking, you know, if a loved one of mine had gotten shot, maybe I'd be begging Congress to magically do something too. And you know what? Maybe you would, but you would have lost all clarity. You would have lost all objectivity. You would have just been so desperate for somebody to, quote unquote, do something that you lose focus.
It's going to be your kid and your kid and your kid and your kid next.
So there we are. Let's hit the phones. 866-660-5759. Dan, how you doing, sir? Welcome. How are you?
Hey, thank you, Mark, for tolerating me again so quickly.
You betcha. On the phone, in person, I don't care.
I understand. Hey, first off, those police officers, that is just the absolute picture of bravery and people who have thought in advance what they were going to do. You know, they didn't have to think about it.
That's right.
But when I saw the video of that woman shooting through the door, it just to me proves a couple of points, is that why those cops were great, they were still minutes away when seconds counted. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And that door, if you watched, she got through it, she breached it. But if you or I or anybody else, a grandfather who's protecting his kids, had been there in that school with an armed deterrent, they would have had time to take her out.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it took her, 30 to 45 seconds or maybe longer to get through the door. And all of that she had to get underneath was the bar that you'd normally push.
Right.
Yeah, we could put a couple more bars on the door there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's coming, you know. But anyway, we had time to take her out.
Exactly right. I wish that America 2023 were not a place where we need to heavy up on armed guards at every school. I wish that were not the case, but wishing doesn't make it so.
Well, and that's a fact, you know. And I said, when I was overseas, the kids and the parents did not mind that we had rat patrols chasing our school buses through town.
Thank you. Spectacular point. What a great example, Dan. Thank you. Because Jessica Tarlov on the 5 said, oh, we're stealing our kids' childhoods by surrounding them with armed people. You know what else steals our kids' childhoods? Being shot by the latest monster. Dan, thanks. Appreciate it very, very much. You know, and I wish for all kinds of things. Rainbows, unicorns, all kinds of things. You got to deal with the country you have. And this is the society we have. Can we fix it? I pray we can. We may get to the point where you go, you know what? Maybe we've gotten our act together enough to where maybe we don't need a small phalanx of armed security around every school. We may get there, but we ain't there now. 9:23. Let's hop to some more of your calls. Nashville, the morning after. We are in Dallas. Jim, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
This shooting issue with all these schoolsmen jobs is not a gun problem, it's a parent problem. This is a result of parents raising their kids to be happy their childhood and not raising them to be good adults. This is the result of everyone gets a participation trophy. Everything's okay. That's not the way the real world is. So when kids get into the real world, they don't know how to cope.
What a spectacular point. You phrased it in a particularly valuable way. When your focus, and this is true, honestly, of husbands, wives, friends, and kids as well, when all you want is for someone to, quote unquote, be happy, there are all kinds of things that will make somebody happy in the moment. Hey, my 10-year-old boy thinks he's a girl. Well, let's get him a dress. That'll make him happy. Well, maybe for now, but later on he says, Mom, Dad, what'd you do to me? And then that's with all these people who say, if you thwart this, if you don't give them, quote unquote, gender affirming care, you know, they're gonna run upstairs and hang themselves. Well, what they need is first of all, God. But that's something that society can't force on them. But it's something that caring people can offer, and they need love, and they need sensibility, and they need sanity to be guided toward what they are and comfort with what they are and mental health realizing what they are. And that's what they need. And we just don't seem to be in the mood to offer that because it's hard. God bless you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. 9:30, into the newsroom we go. And here's Gordon Griffin. It is the home stretch half hour. Coming up next hour, our friend Mike Gallagher is with us. And Mike and I will be joining you on stage 3 weeks from tonight. Anticipation runs high. We are going to have just the most wonderful time, and we're inviting a few friends over. We're going to fill up that magnificent Palace Arts Center. The Lancaster Theater on Main Street in Grapevine. It'll be Tuesday night, the 18th of April. Got a VIP at 6. The show's at 7. Be in the building in whatever way you wish it, whatever level of attendance you please. Tickets on sale now at 6:60 a.m. TheAnswer.com. Just go to that happy picture of Mike and me smiling at you, and we will smile at you from the stage at the Palace Arts Center in Grapevine on Main Street 3 weeks from tonight. It's just going to be fantastic. So get your tickets today. Bring your friends. It's going to be great. At 6:60 a.m., TheAnswer.com. Okay, so as we get ready to go back to some of your calls, anytime something terrible like this happens, they go out and drag law enforcement experts to riff on certain things. One of the best at this, one of the guys who knows what he doesn't know, doesn't make stuff up, is a gentleman named Paul Morrow, and he was on Fox just a couple of minutes ago.
So obviously the manifesto is going to tell us a lot. Very clearly this was planned, and her motives here are going to be key to how everybody assesses this. One of the things that I would point out that you bring up is that her original target, she decided, was too hard. And so she called it audible and went to this school. So we may learn, again, more from her manifesto as to what the motive was and what she was trying to demonstrate. But we had this here in the city. Saifullah Saipov, who was just recently convicted, the West Side Highway attack, his original target was the Halloween parade. A lot of people don't realize that. His body count likely would have been a lot harder. When he saw the level of scrutiny, the level of security that was around it, because the NYPD had done a threat assessment, had put out a lot of prophylactic assets so that somebody like him would see that and decide to go elsewhere. As terrible as that attack was, and I was on scene for it, and it was horrific, I can tell you that it could have been a lot worse that day. The point is, defensive measures do work. And in this case, they didn't entirely work because it doesn't look like, unfortunately, the defensive measures that might have worked were not in place here.
Paul, we're going to find out the why at some point, and that's important. But whatever the motive is, six people are dead.
Yeah.
And there had to have been some warning signs, and there were some. In fact, if we can pull up this Instagram private message that the shooter sent to a friend, and the shooter writes, so basically, I'm planning to die today. This is not a joke. You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. And we know that the mother also knew something was wrong.
Right.
So a lot had to have happened from someone being suicidal to then going into a school to shoot a bunch of kids.
And this is, let's hop to some of your calls, 866-660-5759. Hindsight is always so 2020. If only. We got to come at this from the front end, folks. Got to come at this from the front end and be more proactive and be more involved and be more present in the lives of people who are hurting, people who are crazy, people who are suffering from various types of mental illness. And we have a society that encourages and celebrates at least one type of mental illness, and that's gender dysphoria. And that might have a death toll. That ill wisdom might have a death toll. We're in Emory. Gene, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark, I appreciate you taking my call.
Hi.
Your last caller kind of touched on what I was wanting to talk about is how we raise our children, you know, and we changed raising our children back in the 80s or something. We started raising them to be progressive, you know, in a progressive way.
Yeah.
You know, no discipline in schools, no discipline at home. No consequences. We don't want to hurt your feelings.
No universal truths. Everything is flexible. Everything is situational ethics.
Exactly. Mm. This is a byproduct of what we've allowed them to do to our children in the schools. This is a byproduct. If we want to change it, we have to change how we're raising our children, or it'll never change. The other point I'd like to make is. All these liberals coming out complaining about this school, it is horrible, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But they care nothing about all the murders that are happening with illegal firearms. They care nothing. They even downgrade those crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. Alvin Bragg does it in New York.
It's like the only lives that matter are the ones that make a political narrative for them. Black lives matter, but not if you're killed by a gang in Chicago. You know, Gene, thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. We're in Fort Worth. James, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing well. Yourself?
Good, thanks.
First, I agree with the previous callers. It all starts at home. But it's definitely accentuated by society and the government education system. But the main reason I was calling was my kids are at a Christian school as well. And we generally have an officer there, you know, all the time. So I think that, number one, helps. And then number two, you always hear arming the teachers, options, et cetera. You know, the one negative to that, the main negative to that is most of those teachers are produced from a liberal system and haven't even held a gun, much less know about them.
Yeah.
To begin with, you know, I think anyone with a concealed carry that's been through the FBI background check should be able to carry onto a campus.
Of course.
Even a grade school campus.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No,
I would rather have someone that's not, maybe they're not as experienced as an officer, but that it's better than the kids running around with, you know, pencils in defense.
Precisely, precisely right. As the old saying now goes, it's become an old saying, guns don't kill people. Gun-free zones kill people. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it very, very much. A couple of things I want to do. Trump was on with Hannity talking about DeSantis last night. Do I want to do that real quick first and then come back to something? I think I do. Because what I want to do in a minute, I kind of want to wrap up with this, is that, you may know that among the children killed was Hallie Scruggs. And her dad is Chad Scruggs, who until just a few years ago was an associate pastor at Park City's Presbyterian. He came back to preach some sermons just last month. And I have one of them. And one of them is about the afterlife. And one of them is about the loving arms of God and where we all should intend and hope and plan to go. Since his beautiful daughter is in the Lord's loving arms, Thought I'd share a little bit of that. I think I'll do that here. I'm going to do that here in just a moment. President Trump shared last night with Sean Hannity. Sean asked him, you and DeSantis, I mean, it used to be cozy. You guys used to be friends. Well, gee, what happened? Anything change in the last few weeks? And Trump's point was essentially to begin with, we were never really friends.
Not friends. I didn't know him well, but he was on impeachment hoax number one and impeachment hoax number two, which I won.
Defending you.
He was one of 150 people that would go on television and defend me. And he was no Jim Jordan. He was no, I mean, I had a lot of people that really
defended me. He was no Jim Jordan.
Defended me great. But he was good, and he defended me. So all of a sudden, he's running for governor. And people didn't view him as governor because, you know, he was a congressman defending, and they didn't view him as governor. And he announced he was running for governor, and he wanted to get my support. Now, right. I didn't know the person that was running named Adam Putnam. He was the Secretary of Agriculture, which is actually the second highest position in Florida. It's a big deal. Agriculture is very big, and it goes back 100 years and all of that. But agriculture right. is very big, very high official and popular, Adam Putnam. And what happened, but I didn't know him. And I knew Ron a little bit. I didn't know him very well, but I knew him a little bit. I knew him as somebody that defended me. So what happened with Ron is the following. He came to see me. He was getting killed. He was being crushed. Adam Putnam, it was over. I have many people that I know that worked for Adam Putnam. They said it was like a nuke. I hate to use this expression. It was like a nuclear weapon went off when you endorsed because they considered the race to be over. They had the race. He had millions and millions of dollars, and he was way up in the polls. He was beating Ron by 30 points or so. It was over.
There is no doubt that the Trump endorsement helped DeSantis win. Absolutely no doubt. But here's where things in this crazy, weird world in Trump world, but with the former president and some other folks near him, they feel like that means that DeSantis cannot now run against him. Like it's disloyal.
Ron came to see me, tears in his eyes. He said, I need you to do me a big favor. First he asked for the meeting. Then he asked me for the favor. I said, what's the favor? Would you endorse me? I fought for you, but again, a lot of people fought for me. You fought for me only rightfully, but you fought for me if you thought I was right.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than he did. But he said, I need your endorsement. I said, Ron, you're so far behind. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that if you got George Washington's endorsement combined with the great, late, great Abraham Lincoln, if you had their endorsements, I don't think you could win, Ron, but... Tell me about it. Go ahead. He said, I'm telling you, I think I could win if I could get your endorsement. And he was, you'll have to check the records, but many, many, many points. It was over. And the nomination just.
And it was a very close
the
race.
The nomination was just, okay.
Okay. Oh, just a memo to the former president and everybody in his sphere. Tell us why President Trump 2.0 is better than President DeSantis. There you go. It is that simple. There's logic you can use. The best Trump philosophy, the best Trump approach right now is Ron DeSantis, nice young man, good governor of Florida. His time may come. Right now, we need a sure thing. I'm a sure thing. You remember me. I've done this. Let me do this again. Ta-da! No charge. But instead we get, Ron is a globalist rhino that is in the pockets of donors and secretly meeting with Jeb Bush Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan. Oh, goodness gracious me. Anyway. All right. I'm glad to do this as kind of a final thing for this segment anyway. Chad Scruggs' daughter, Hallie, died yesterday in that school in Nashville. Just last month, Chad Scruggs came back to his prior church home, Park City's Presbyterian, and one of the sermons that he delivered was about Revelation 21, 1 through 5, which is about our heavenly destination.
That will be the church in glory. One pastor makes a point that I love. He says, you know, on that day, will we even recognize each other? And the answer, of course, is yes and no. We will recognize one another, but likely we'll say something like this. I never knew that's who you really were and who God was making you to be by his grace.
On that day, we'll all be turned inside out with more beauty than we can now imagine, because what Jesus has been doing in us that we can't always see all along to adorn us for himself. Friends, we hope for that day. We long for that day. We pray for that day when we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's two. And then finally, to pray for Jesus to come quickly is to pray both for presence and for absence. Look there with me in verses 3-5 briefly. I want you to imagine here in those verses what God says eternity with him will be like. First, imagine what is present. And we would see this more if we continued reading in this final vision, but what is most strikingly present really at the end of Revelation in the new heaven and the new earth is God himself, the fullness of God himself. Verse 3. Behold, that means look. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. If you've been in the Bible long, if you've been around the Bible long, you'll know that as the thread, the promise that ties the whole of it together. We call it the covenant of grace.
This magnificent message from Chad Scruggs, and this is Revelation 21, 1-5, and the rest of it is, and this is particularly pertinent to him and to his beautiful daughter. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God bless Hallie Scruggs and William Kinney and Evelyn Diekhouse and the grown-ups called to be there to serve them and serve that school and that community, Mike Hill, Cynthia Peake, and Catherine Kuntz. It's 9:50. My searching. It is so very, very easy to ask how, if there is a loving God, can terrible things like this happen? All you have to do is find the answer in his word. We are never guaranteed, never promised a life without pain, a life without tragedy, a life without bad things. We are taught that when those bad things happen, when those tragedies occur, to rely on him, to be drawn to him, and to draw others to him for the best path through this life. Little Casting Crowns and God of All My Days to take us out. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K. R-O-N-D-A capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills, and Gordon for news excellence. Mike Gallagher is next. Remember their names. Evelyn Diekhouse, William Kinney, Hallie Scruggs, Catherine Kuntz, Cynthia Peake, Mike Hill, in the arms of a loving God. May that God watch over you, and I'll see you in the morning. Have a great day. God bless our country, our troops, our families, our first responders. Thank you, and thanks for hanging out with us here today. See you in the morning. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. All my freedom, all my days.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.